God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word. Today, Dr. Don is diving back into Philippians, but with this particular take, this is today's message title, Our Manner of Life. The way we live our life every day makes a difference. And when we hear Paul talk about it and Dr. Don expound on this message today, you'll know what we can gain in the real world of living a life following Jesus Christ. As we study the Word together, know that we're available for you. Love to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. We'd love to take your call anytime to talk or listen or pray or connect with resources. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Wilton.
I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're living in a very, very rapidly changing world, and it's not all good. We live in a great place, a great day, a great age. There are a lot of changes taking place, a lot of turmoil. I'm a Christian man. If you have ever, for whatever reason, wanted to know anything about me, and I'm happy to sit down and share some of the finer details of my life, but what I really want you to know about me is that I'm a Christian man. I'm a very ordinary person. I'm a Christian man, means that my life belongs to the Lord Jesus. You know, I have this situation that I need to share with you. I live in this world. And a lot about my world that I love, I appreciate, I enjoy living very, very much. I love so much about the living that God allows me to do. But I've got a lot of issues that I face as a Christian person. I'm living in a rapidly changing world, and my God never changes. What is the new normal today? You know, the latest, I'm sure you've heard, is that there is a school of thought in America now that feels that we need to eliminate the word person, P-E-R-S-O-N, person, from our vocabulary. We need to eliminate it because it's not politically correct anymore, because the word person has a gender endangerment in it. It has the word S-O-N, person, and that's not good. It's not politically correct. Someone's going to get offended. So now there's a movement in America that is trying to find, we cannot call ourselves men too much, you cannot call yourself woman too much, and you're not even a person anymore, because that's accentuating the end of that word, someone might become offended. And some of you might look at me and say, well, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. That's the world we're living in. I'm a Christian man. I have a lot of opinions and ways of doing things, but what is my life? How do I conduct myself in this world? How do I do that? Let me read to you something that Paul tells us here that's very to the point. I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 27. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. What that means is whatever situation, wherever you find yourself, whatever circumstances you're in, let your conduct, your manner of life. Now, here's the catch. Everyone ready for this? Let your manner of life, here it is. This qualifies our conduct, our manner of life. This is for me. This is what Paul is saying. Wherever you find yourself and whatever circumstance and whatever's going on, your manner of life, the way in which you live out your life, the way in which we conduct ourselves, must be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let me read to you this. Now, remember, he's talking to a group of believers just like you and me. And Paul himself found himself in very difficult circumstances. In his context, right here now in this place, he was in prison. He was being persecuted, suffering greatly. People didn't like him. They shouted him down. What he was saying about Jesus was not popular. And how he lived his life as a Christian man was not just universally embraced by the world in which he lived. And so he says, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear, I want to know that your conduct, that you are standing firm in one spirit, that you have one mind, striving or contending side by side. That's a military expression, by the way. That's a military expression. It has to do with the power of one. It's fundamental to any battle plan. Just get together. Great strength. If there's anything that the devil would do in America today, and he is succeeding, is he will divide the Christian community. You and I are barking up the wrong tree. We're spending all our time pointing a finger at the United Nations and at the White House and at the state capitol. We've got a problem as believers. We all claim to know Christ and to preach Christ and Him crucified, but it is roundly considered out there that there is more conflict among Christian people than ever before. You and I actually do not have an opinion outside of the Lord Jesus. We've got to stop strutting. So now watch this, what he says here. He says that you have one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction and of your salvation, and that all of this comes from God. For it has been granted to you. By the way, the word grant there in the Greek text is derivative of the word grace. It has been grace to you. God has conferred this on you. He's given you an incredible gift that you, for the sake of Christ, should not only believe in Him, but also should suffer for His sake, engaged, Paul says, in the same conflicts that he is. What was he engaged in? Suffering, persecution, good things, not so good things, and very bad things. It was all there. You know, one thing I love about Peyton Manning, if you've ever heard of Peyton Manning, I've always had a little bit of an affection for Peyton Manning because he was a member of our church in New Orleans, his family, First Baptist Church in New Orleans, years ago. And when Peyton and his brothers were just little fellas, and I actually have very clear pictures in my mind of these little fellas running around there. They were members of First Baptist New Orleans, of our church. And I haven't known Peyton very much since then, but very proud of his accomplishment. Went off to the University of Tennessee, drafted, and retired after 18 years as a football player. If there's anything that you can say about Peyton Manning as a football player, was that he distinguished himself as a football player, representing the sport that he played. Not just representing the sport, but how he played. Yes, he's retired with all of these accolades, broke many, many records. But it seems like from across the board, athletes and people all across America are all saying incredible things about Peyton Manning, the football player. I mean, he could execute the ball. He had an attitudinal demeanor, his conduct. I never saw Peyton every time he played, obviously, nor did you, but I was never embarrassed when he was interviewed by television. He didn't strut. He didn't have an attitude. He played the game. He got on with it. He played it well. Whether he won or whether he lost, he represented the game. I'm a Christian man. whether I'm in this circumstance or whether I'm in that circumstance. And what Paul is saying here, whatever circumstance, here's the bottom line: you need to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. You don't change. You're not a different person by different standards when you get to work on Monday morning or on that school yard or when you're dealing with someone or someone drops a brick on your toe. Now, that's a discipline. It's a discipline for me to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel when I'm in heavy traffic or if someone cuts in front of me or if something happens that I don't particularly like or I'm not served quick enough at the dinner table or if someone gives an opinion about something that I don't like. My mandate, regardless, is to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel. I say this very lovingly. I've told every one of you, I will talk to any one of you and listen to any one of you in this church about anything in this church, so long as you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. If you don't, I'm not going to listen to you. Any questions? That's what he's saying. It's to the point. Brother, you can come to me and tell me something and express an opinion. I'm going to listen to you, man, so long as you speak in a Christ-like manner. You cross over that line, you've got nothing to say to me. Have I made myself clear? And the same standard that applies to you applies to me. That's what he's talking about. It's so critical. It's, you know, if Peyton Manning can represent his sport so well, how much more ought I not to represent my Jesus so well?
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and we'll be back with the rest of today's message in just a moment. But I want to invite you to meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. There you'll find opportunities to listen to this message again and other great resources, plus a way to connect with us about how we can pray for you to be the kind of man of God, the woman of God that you know God's called you to be. If you want to do that keyboard to keyboard, that's where we do it, tewonline.org, or call this number. We'd love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So there are three calls here in many ways that Paul gives to us. That's what I love about this, because I need help. I need serious help because I'm an individual. I have pet peeves and likes and dislikes, and I get tummy aches and toothaches, and I wake up and don't feel so good one minute and the next minute. And I'm in the traffic too, and we have all of these things going on. Any one of us here today not engaged fully in this world, in our human disposition, this is a jolly hard discipline. But it's the greatest joy in the world. Parents, you need to apply that to your sons and daughters. Just apply the standard. My son, my daughter, I love you. But you behave like that? No. This is the standard that we have in our home. No, you don't talk to your mother like that. Do we understand, you young whippersnapper? You talk to your mother like that, I can promise you, I'm going to sell you on the trade market. Problem with so many parents today, you've got no standard of conduct in your home. So this really, in a way, is Paul giving us a standard of conduct. And there are three calls here. Number one, there's the call to be unyielding. Number two, there's the call to be undivided. Number three, there's the call to be unafraid. So just watch this with me. Number one, there's the call to be unyielding. He says here, it's really wonderful. He's trying to help me now to conduct myself worthy of the gospel. This is the conduct of my faith. Number one, he says, you need to be unyielding. He says that I want to hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. That you're unyielding in your spirit. I said to myself, what does that mean? It means that God is telling us to be unyielding in our focus. Stand firm in one. What's our focus? Our focus is Jesus. Be unyielding. to stand firm in our formula for life. I've got a formula for life. It's not a perfect formula. It's one that I have to keep working on all the time because I let so many people down and I keep getting in the way because I'm a human being. But if my focus is on Jesus and my formula for life means that I've determined that I'm going to be content and happy no matter what condition I'm in, that I'm going to stand up for the Lord Jesus, that I'm going to do everything I can to live out my life in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. It's jolly hard, folks. I've told you this before. Any of you want to know why I don't drink alcohol? You know, we have all this talk going on about alcohol all over. Why I don't drink alcohol, because you're all looking at me. So we can give all kind of, listen, with all of these deaths and wife beatings and road accidents and everything, I just made a decision. I don't judge you. I'm not judging you. I got a formula. My formula related to my three grown children hasn't changed. My formula is I believe in having real fun. You know what my formula for life is? I made a decision. I'm not going to drag a big old fat lip around. My formula for life is I'm going to try jolly hard to love all people. I fail all the time. He said, be unyielding. Stand as one in spirit together. Be unyielding in your focus, in your formula. Be unyielding in your fight. Paul got to the end of his life. He said, I fought the good fight of faith. He wouldn't have said, I fought the fight if there was no fight to fight. So the first in conducting ourselves, the first is the call to be unyielding. The second is the call to be undivided. Now look what he says here in the second part of verse 27. I love it. He said, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's the call to be undivided. That's my conduct. If my conduct, the manner with which I live out my life, is first of all unyielding, secondly, it must be undivided. Undivided in what? The call to be undivided in terms of who we pray to. Folks, if we need to know whatever it is that we need to know about everything pertaining to life and death, we need to be talking to God. What's our purpose as believers? You know what the purpose of every believer is? To glorify God. So now, if I'm here today and I'm asking that question, and I'm saying to myself, how do I need to conduct myself? Here's what Paul's saying to the church at Philippi, which is saying this to me. Don, you need to be undivided in who you talk to, and you need to be undivided in your purpose. And your purpose, undivided, should be to glorify God. Well, what if I applied that standard to everything that I did? Can you feel how everything comes into place? Is that decision I'm making, is it glorifying God? Is that place I'm going to, is it glorifying God? Is the manner with which I'm speaking to someone, is it glorifying God? Is what I'm doing with my money glorifying God? Is this purchase going to glorify God? I mean, you just keep going. Undivided in whom we pray to and what our purpose is. We need to be undivided in who we partner with. Who we partner with. Right throughout this great prison epistle, Paul keeps talking about we, us. Who do we go to for our support? Folks, can I say this? I want to just say this to you. Some of you are going through extraordinarily difficult things, and you're going to the wrong people to partner with them. You're looking for your help in the wrong places. How do you suppose you're going to get the right kind of counsel that will glorify God if the person you're talking to doesn't even know Him? Some of you are just constantly and continually gravitating toward the world for your counsel and for your strength and for your nourishment, and no wonder you're in such a mess. You go to the wrong marriage counselor who doesn't know the Lord, the first thing they'll do is tell you, walk out of there, man, have nothing to do with her. I'm not going to tell you to do that. You know why? Because I believe in very deep things. I believe in forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration. Because that's what God's done for me. That's what God does for us. Conduct of our faith. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. This is a call to be unyielding and a call to be undivided, but it's also a call to be unafraid. Look what he says in verse 25. Don't be frightened of anything that your opponents are bringing to the table. My oldest son, Rob, obviously I love him to bits, but you know, Rob, right after Hurricane Katrina, we were in New Orleans with Dr. Billy Graham, and the place was devastated, and Mr. Graham got up and spoke and encouraged all those people in that region, so devastated. And my son was there, and God spoke to his heart. And through what the Lord was saying, they, with the help of our church and many others, planted Vintage Church in New Orleans. One of our church plant partnerships in our church, right there in New Orleans. I know New Orleans not as well as a lot of people. Now, my son is a native of New Orleans. He was born and raised there. New Orleans is a tough place. Church has grown so well. And so they decided to put up a relatively small facility in one place where they meet. They meet in several locations in a very difficult situation. One lady who lives next door began to mount a campaign against them, got the police to come. For several weeks, the sheriff's department from Jefferson Parish arrived, walked into the congregation, fingerprinted them, issued citations against their executive pastor, criminal citations, told them the noise level couldn't be above 60 decibels. That's like a lawnmower. Of course, the exceptions in Louisiana law are festivals, jackhammers, construction. That doesn't matter. But one person, an older lady that lives next door, decided she was going to go after them. It's been relentless. You think this isn't going on in America, folks? I tell you, I have been so deeply moved by the manner with which the people and the members have conducted themselves worthy of the gospel. Human nature says, let me get out there and let me just show them a thing or two. What would Jesus do? And these things hurt. Do you know how many people don't want to come to church because police cars are showing up? Do you know when people don't come to church, many people don't give, so their offerings go into a free fall? This is what Paul's talking about. This is exactly what he's talking about here. The call to be unafraid, that is not a rambunctious type of unafraid. It's the call to be unafraid of what we face, whether it be success or suffering. And Paul talks about that, persecution. It's the call to be unafraid of who we face. In America today, get ready for this. Opposition to the gospel of Jesus is going to become more and more intense, and the people who will oppose it will be very frightening. They can wield a big stick. They can be very imposing, very frightening, very threatening, and it is coming, and it is coming strong. You need to prepare yourself. We need to be unafraid of what we face and of who we face. We need to be unafraid of where we face, what we face, and who we face. Paul put it like this. He said, I've learned it doesn't matter. Wherever I am, I'm going to be content in the Lord. And it's interesting here that he says, you know, when we are unyielding and undivided and unafraid, that there are two things it does. Number one, it confirms our ultimate victory, he says in verse 28. That's a confirmation that Christ is victorious. And number two, it confirms our eternal salvation in the second part of verse 28, which means that when we conduct ourselves, if you want to Let me put it this way to you. If you want to really know whether or not I am really a Christian, observe the way I conduct myself. And what God is saying to me and to you, that we need to conduct ourselves in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. That's tough. It's hard, folks. It's hard, it's tough, but I'm going to tell you, with Christ in us, you can do it. You know that in your marriage right now, the way you're talking to each other, you can do it, man. Apologize. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, from now on, the way I speak to my wife, I'm going to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel. The way you relate to that person down the road, Lord, please help me. Help me. And He will. That's what His Spirit does.
The Lord will help you. And I pray you would open your heart, not just to the message we've heard from Dr. Wilton so far, but to these thoughts that he's about to share with us next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful.
If you've given your heart to Jesus or rededicated your life to Jesus, we have wonderful resources we would love to put in your hands. Give us a call. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure and check out the new book, When God Prayed, by Dr. Don Wilton.
What miracle are you personally praying for today? You may need the miracle of healing in your body, healing of a relationship, your finances, or to overcome an addiction. Perhaps you need a miracle for your son or daughter to return home. Whatever you need, whatever circumstance life has thrown your way today, be encouraged. God loves you. This month, for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton would love to send you two inspiring ministry resources, Praying for a Miracle, a CD-only message, and a When God Prayed book. Both of these resources will stir your soul and move your heart to a fresh realization of what God prayed for us and that He could be trusted in what we are believing Him for. A miracle. Call us at 866-899-9673. We would love to pray with you and send you these resources. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
And don't forget, we'd love to pray with you and for you anytime, day or night, at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or keyboard to keyboard online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.